concerning the time that we're living in. And this is to be a time of comfort and stability, a time of comfort and stability. What you need is to be stable. Yes. It's important that we as Christians be stable, not wishy-washy. Amen. Amen. When you're not stable, you're subject to fall for anything. And I want to say this to you also. Learn not to live by your feelings. I'll say that again. Learn not to live by your feelings. But live by the word of God. Live by what God has said. Your feelings will deceive you. Your feelings will lead you in the wrong direction. Learn to live by the word of God. And if you've been walking with the Lord any length of time and you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, follow your spirit, that inner man on the inside of you. That's not feelings. That's that inner voice or that inner prompting of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the more you walk, the longer you walk with God and the more you stay in his word, you'll recognize that even clearer. You don't understand why, you don't understand all the details, but you know something is just not right about a situation, although everything in the natural looked good. But on the inside, you just know something's not right here. Or it could be on the flip side. You know, it looks kind of rough and bad on the outside, but on the inside, in your spirit, you know you have a peace. You have a peace that this is okay. This is okay. And it's all right to follow that, because now you're following your inward witness. I'll say you're following your inward witness, but we cannot follow our feelings. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in Romans chapter 15 again, let's go back there. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's the reason, brothers and sisters, I always point you to the Word of God. That's what I always point you to, the Word of God. And anything I preach, you're welcome to go home and research it. Glory to God. Get back in the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that will never change. The Word of God will never, ever change. Amen? Are you still here? Now, I want to... flip forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll begin reading at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You see that? I said, you see that? Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that's what I was talking about earlier. If you're in a trial right now, if you're in a what it seems like a dark time right now, you may be living in a time right now where you don't have any clear answers about some things. You need to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and read verse 4, because it tells us that God comforts us in all our tribulation. So you can be at peace regardless of what's going on. Amen? Now, here, let me finish the verse. Let me finish the verse. It says, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Word of life, let me tell you something, and this applies to all of God, to all of God's people. You know, I know during this pandemic and the thing's still not over with, but man, I've heard some Christians, believers talking to one another, and you know, just different people talking to one another, and there wasn't an ounce of faith involved in the conversation. Do you know this thing did not catch God by surprise? Jesus didn't look over at the Father and say, oops, I did not see that coming. No, he didn't do that. He knew it was coming. He knew the origin of it. He knew everything that there is to know about it. And not only that, anything else that comes down the pipe in the future, let me tell you something, God already knows about it. Now see, that should bring comfort right there. Anything, hear me, anything that's coming down the pipe, that has come down the pipe or may come down the pipe in the future, God already knows about it. Can I tell you something else? God is not worried about it. Because he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Hallelujah. And so that's the reason we need to pray really every day. I want to flip over to the book of Ephesians right quick. I don't have this in my notes, but I want to read it to you. Some of you probably already pray this over yourself and over your loved ones. Ephesians chapter 1. See, I've been talking about the sons of Issachar, how that they understood times and they knew what Israel ought to do. And remember, I told you this past Wednesday that we need to be like the sons of Issachar and understand the times, but we need to know what we should be doing as a church, as the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, how is that going to come about? Well, I'm glad you asked me. You still here? Do you have Ephesians chapter 1? I know I haven't given you the verse, but you have Ephesians chapter 1? Drop down to verse 15. Now, the Apostle Paul was praying for the saints at the church of Ephesus. Okay? And this is one of the prayers that he prayed for them. And we need to pray this prayer for ourselves. We need to pray it for our family. We need to pray it for our church. We need to pray it for the body of Christ. Are you here? This is what he prayed. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say in verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is how he prayed. See, when you have this revelation, you can handle anything. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hallelujah. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So that we'll understand the times in light of the Word of God. We'll understand the times and we'll understand what we need to be doing. 18 again, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Everybody say no. Say it again. No. See, just because you're a Christian don't mean that you have to be ignorant. You're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to be in the know. We're supposed to be learning every day of our lives. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Through the power of the living God, we should be able to handle anything and everything. Again, the Apostle Paul proved it, sitting in jail. They begin to praise God. I know the Holy Ghost was working on the inside of him, speaking to him. They begin to praise and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And God delivered them. And let me tell you what happened. When we walk with God, when the eyes of our understanding are open, when we understand the exceeding greatness of God, not only are we going to benefit from it, but somebody else is too. You know what? If you don't feel like you need anything else from God, learn more about him for the benefit of others. Love your neighbor enough to learn more about God so you can help your neighbor. And because of their singing and their praising God, a miracle happened. The jail doors flew open. And I won't tell the whole story, but the jailer got saved and his family. All because of a couple of men deciding we're not going to cry in darkness. We're not going to give up in darkness. We're not going to quit in darkness. But we're going to lift our hands and we're going to lift our voices to God and bless his name. He's going to get the glory out of this thing. And he did. Y'all still with me? Glory to God. All right. So back to verse 19. And this is his prayer for the church, not just for Ephesus, but for all of us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? We need to always be aware of the fact that the power of God is working in us mightily. We may not feel like it, but let those words flow forth out of your mouth. I say, God is working in me mightily. God is working in me mightily for his glory. Hallelujah. And I'll go ahead and read on. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me read 22 again. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. But let me go back to verse 19 and 20. Before I leave there, I want you to grab something else. He's praying for the saints again. And he goes on to say, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What the word of God is telling us, listen to me real good. Listen to me. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church. Put verse 19 back on the screen for me. Now stay with me. I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. Go back to verse 18. He says, and this is his prayer. Stay with me. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay? In other words, your eyes be open, that you understand who you really are. Who you really are in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 19. Now, you need to know who you are. Now you need to know about the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Understand something, child of God. you have an abundance of power available to you through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what he just prayed? That we may know about this exceeding greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, verse 20. Verse 20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Let me tell you something. That same power is available to us, the church, today. In the name of Jesus. That's the reason Jesus told us if we needed anything, ask the Father in his name. And I know I need to preach and teach more on this, and I'm sure I will in the future. But one of the problems that the people of God have, not all of them, many of them have, they do not understand their authority in Christ Jesus. When you understand your authority, there's some things you won't put up with. When you understand it's the same Holy Spirit, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead that is now available to you and I today. Matter of fact, the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus dwells in us. Because he, not only is he our Lord and our Savior, but he's also our elder brother. Glory to God. We've heard so much negative stuff that many of us have bought into it, and we've completely lost sight, or in most cases, never even knew who we really are in Christ Jesus. Just because we've had to suffer some, just because we've had challenges in our life, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Now, you know, we quote that verse, but let me ask you a question. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because if we believe it, we're going to act like it. If we believe it, we're going to talk like it. If we believe it, we're going to walk like it. If we believe it. But don't get distracted by what happened to someone else. Oh, that's a big trick right there that the devil uses against the people of God. Well, you know, such and such, this is what happened to him, this is what happened to her. Well, it may have happened to him and it may have happened to her, but just because it happened to him or her don't mean it's going to happen to me. I hope you heard what I just said. Do you know that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior? We have a personal relationship with him. I have a personal relationship with him. I can talk to him. I can fellowship with him. You can too. Therefore, I don't have to live by your relationship with him. Well, you know, such and such, man, they were great people of God, but this is what happened. So what make us think we could be any different? Because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I have a Bible of my own. I can read the Word of God for myself. Hallelujah. That's just like saying all you got to do is come to church and you'll be saved, because there's some saved people in church. It don't work that way. If the saved people in church and all you do is come to church, when Jesus come back and catch the church away, guess what? The saved people are going to be out of here. And you're going to be sitting in your favorite seat that you have in church. Because you can't get to heaven on somebody else's faith. You got to know Jesus Christ for yourself. And dear brothers and sisters, we got to have a personal relationship with him. And we got to make up our mind, I believe the word of God for me. I believe what he said. Hallelujah. Not based on what happened to you, I believe for me. Am I making any sense? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there another amen out there somewhere? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's comfort one another. Let's build up one another. Not tear each other down. Let's build up one another. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I'll go just a few more minutes. Praise God. But understand, regardless what happens, what pandemic again may come down the pipe, or what happens in the world, just remember, Jesus already told us about it. Right? Remember I told you that in Matthew chapter 24. Amen. He told us what was going to happen. He let us in on it. But you got to understand something. Hear me real good. And this gives me so much comfort. It is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Put it on the screen for me, please. Hebrews 6, 18. I just want to read just this one verse, because I'm focusing on one thing. That by two immutable things in which, read that. Read it again. It is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. And we know the Word of God says, listen, the Word of God says, with God all things are possible, with God nothing is impossible. But there is one thing that God cannot do, and that's lie. To you and lie to me. Pastor, I don't know if I'd say that or not. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to. No, he can't. Because if he lied to us, then he wouldn't be the same God. It's not even his nature. Lying is nowhere near him. Even the best person, listen, even the best person, you know, you put them under some pressure, they'll be tempted to tell a lie, right? And I certainly won't ask for a show of hands on that one. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can be a very good person, but sometimes something catch you off guard or something, and sometimes folks will tell a lie. And they wind up having to repent. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You know, I shouldn't have. But that would never, ever happen to God. It happens to us because we still are in our human bodies. It'll never happen to God. What am I saying? God will never, ever lie to you or me. Isn't that good? Yeah. Hebrews 6:18 says, impossible for God to lie. He's the God of love. He's the God of love. Amen? So he's not going to lie to us. Give me 6:19, please, just the very next verse. Now I'm going to close out right here. I believe there's some more I have, but I'm not going, I don't think. Knowing that it's impossible for God to lie. Verse 19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Let me tell you something. Knowing that my God can never lie to me is an anchor to my soul. It keeps me stable. You hear me? It keeps me stable. Even in an unstable world, I can remain stable because I know God will never lie to me. So all I have to do is go to his word, find out what God has said, and then stand on that, and then I will be all right. The wind may blow. The ground may shake. A thousand may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But I declare it shall not come near me. We must remain stable. But truth brings stability. Knowing what God has said, knowing he has not lied to us, he's not trying to deceive us. He's not trying to embarrass us. Matter of fact, the word of God says, those that believe on him shall not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Bless God. Therefore, we can sing the song, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it. Hallelujah. Who know the song? Who know the words to the song? Raise your hand. You know the words to the song? Hallelujah. Come sing it. Come on. Anybody else know words to the song to help her out? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, y'all need to tell the truth now. Just Priscilla, you were singing it. Both of you come on up here. Lisa, Corinthia, Priscilla.